Let's take our Bibles out, shall we? Just want to keep moving this evening. Yeah, we'll go to Isaac. I was going to give him plenty of time to yell at the staff. I could say that because I know that's not his way. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I don't think it is. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. I think our brother John Prah spoke about the churches, did he not? Yes. A few weeks ago. Was anybody here during that? Good. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to talk about the churches. But you know, we've been studying the book of Revelation in our Bible study. I have some dear new Christians in our church, and sometimes, you know, I like to let the Lord lead us, but sometimes I like to ask them, you know, what do you want to look at? What do you want to study? What do you want to talk about? A theme, book in the Bible. And one precious new lady says, Revelation. We'll study Revelation. I said, okay. I said, we actually did it a few years ago, but we'll do it again because we have a lot of new folks. I said, we'll do it again. And you know, as we've been reading it, we've been studying it, looking at it, of course, you know, when you get to Revelation, you can, as one of my dear teachers, Ravi Zacharias, says, you can generate more heat than light, if you know what that means. More heat than light. What's your school of interpretation? But you know, as we've been reading it and just allowing God to speak to our hearts, we've been so encouraged by some of the things. I don't profess to understand it all, and maybe my school of thought is different than yours. I think there's, as we've been looking, there's so much value gleaned from so many of the various methods of interpretation, and perhaps you have your own favorite. I know some of our teachers, Brother Gordon and others, had their way of looking at things, have been taught by some marvelous teachers, Brother Gordon, of course, being one of them. But as we've been looking at this book, one of the things I've noticed is that every week, when we've left that study together, we've been encouraged. We've walked out not shaking in our boots. You know, sometimes you can hear about Revelation, you can read Revelation, shaking in your boots. My mother used to tell me that. She used to tell me, I used to read Revelation, I'd be shaking in my boots. He's just shaking, scared out of my wits. Well, there's some hard things in there. Some things that when you look at them seem terrifying. But I've noticed that we've been encouraged. And I trust just these few things we're just going to talk about for a couple of minutes will encourage each one of us. And those of you who are going to be here for a while, I'm going to be here for a little while now. You're stuck with me, unless the Lord chooses otherwise. But we're going to go through some of the blessings, some of the encouragement that are in this book. There's some other things we'll look at. We're going to be here for a while until next Monday, so I don't want to become weary and well-doing. If I ever get to the point where you get tired of something, you let me know. We'll move on. I have a whole arsenal. You don't come up here for 10 days to speak twice a day and not have at least some idea. Although one year I came up knowing exactly what I was going to do until the night I got here. And I was reading and praying in that office right over there, and all of a sudden it says, I got some work to do because the Lord just put something completely different on my heart and had to start from scratch. But it was okay because then I went home and I shared it with my congregation down there too. So, you know, kill two birds with one stone. So I'm sort of doing the same thing, but not exactly. But I'm sharing with you some of the things that have been a real encouragement to us in our church as we've looked at this book, the blessings of this book. Did you know there's a blessing in this book? I know you know that. You're all veterans here. In fact, you could probably teach it better than me. You're all veterans. You all know how to interpret Revelation. You got all the answers. You know what 666 is. You know who the Antichrist was. You got all that figured out, right? The beast from the sea, the beast from the land, all that. The locusts, right? You got that done, right? Got that checked off on your Christian to-do list? Well, I don't proclaim that I'm going to do that with you, but we are going to look at some of the images in this book to see the blessings, the encouragement. I think this is going to encourage even our staff, and especially I think I can help, having been one. I only worked in the kitchen 1 year, and they kicked me out. They kicked me out and made me go be a counselor. I don't know, I didn't think I did that bad a job in the kitchen, but Sister Wally kicked me out. Dear Sister Wally, huh? Oh, she was great to work with. Now, I don't want to put any pressure on your brother, Eric, but I remember walking in so many days and Sister Wally would look at us and said, here's what we're having for dinner, for breakfast. What would you boys like? We weren't quite like that. We would just say, whatever you got, Sister Wally, is fine with us. But just give us the big bowls. We want to eat at the serving bowls. None of these monkey dishes for us. We want the big stuff. But it was marvelous. And so I think and I trust this will be an encouragement. I know as it has been to me, perhaps to some of our, to our counselors, because you know that we're in a war. We are in a war. This Christian walk is a warfare. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but that's what the Bible says. I guess I do want to be overly dramatic because I've been on this way quite a while myself. And it's a battle. And you know what? It doesn't seem to get any easier. I don't know, maybe it does for you. Maybe you are already an overcomer, but I'm still working on that. God is still working on me. There are still things that come my way that buffet me, like that gust of wind that hit us coming up the north way. That you don't ever see it coming, and all of a sudden, boom. And boy, you have all you can do just to stay on your feet, let alone keep moving forward. It's a warfare. Paul says that. It's a warfare. It is a warfare. And Revelation points that out so clearly. But read with me the first three verses of the book of Revelation. You got it? Now, I know we have a lot of different versions. I've kind of figured that out over the years. I have several different in my briefcase. I always bring a couple different ones just to say, well, let's see what most people have. I have my old New King James Version Bible, the old New King James Version. How does that sound, huh? Well, compared to all the versions that are out, this is kind of old now. But here it is. Read along with me. Follow. If you have New King James, jump right in. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Here it is. Watch this. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Did you know? Did you read that carefully? Did you see what it says? Does it say there, blessed is everybody who's got all the answers and knows how to interpret every little symbol in this book? Every allusion, not illusion, allusion. Every metaphor, every simile. Every shadow or type. No, it doesn't say that. It says, blessed is he who reads. Now that word, actually, if some of you have our brother Eddie Walfogel's favorite version, the English Standard Version, which I have in my, I always bring that one with me when I come in honor of him, and I like it too. But it says there, blessed is he who reads aloud. Have you ever read the Bible aloud? Do you ever read the Bible aloud? That's a marvelous thing to do. It's wonderful to read and let it just sink into your heart. But sometimes it's good to read it aloud. If you go back when it talks about the word of God as our sword, you know, the word of God, and I don't want to turn into another different study. I want to stay on track. My folks in church know sometimes I take a left turn and we kind of go off into the field a little bit. But you know, that word, where it talks about the word of God as our sword, that word literally means the spoken word of God. How did Jesus fight Satan? Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? And the tempter came to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Three times. What did Jesus say? He spoke the word of God to him. Jesus could have just went on his own authority. I've often thought that when I read that, you know, I like to let my imagination run wild sometimes. Especially when there's a story you know so well, you've read it, you know, hundreds of times. I often think to myself, if I was Jesus, I would have looked at him. I would have said, do you know who you're messing with? You know who you're messing with, you know, and I would have popped him. But that's not what Jesus did he? No. You know why he did this? Because you and I can't do that. We can't say, you know who I am? I mean, we know who we are. We are children of the King. But Jesus gave us a great example, and he quoted, he spoke the word of God directly into the face of the enemy, the Satan. We're going to talk about that. He plays a big role in this book, the Satan, the great accuser, the enemy of the brethren, who, by the way, is cast down. But Jesus spoke the word of God. The word of God is quick, it is sharp, it is powerful. And that says here, blessed is he who reads aloud this book. You're blessed if you read any of these books aloud. Do it sometimes. Try it sometime. I believe that you'll be blessed. And if you do, keep it up. Keep it up. And those who hear. Those who hear. Because, you know, when this was written, not everybody could read and write. They didn't have public schools. The great enemy, according to many Christians. But anyway, that's a whole other talk, right, Brother Isaac? But, you know, even those who couldn't read, blessed are those who hear as it is read. And blessed are all those who hold these things, who keep them near to their heart, who meditate on them, ponder them, pray over them. This blessing is for you. This blessing is for you. The Bible says, God's word says this, because the time is near. The time is near. And so I have just a little paper I'm going to give you. I'm not going to be doing this throughout this week, although there are so many notes that I've sent. You want to help me? You start on that side. Give everybody one. This is just a little overview of what I'd love to share tonight together. Perhaps, and you could keep it, you could throw it out, you could do what you like. But I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the keys to the blessings that are in the book of Revelation. Now, I am not going to give you a method to interpret this book except for one. And that is to let the Bible speak for itself. We are not going to go and try to interpret every little thing. I'm going to share with you some of the thoughts, some of the images that have been of particular interest and blessing to our folks in our Bible study. So we're not going to get controversial. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you who's the beast and the Antichrist. I'll let you figure that out. You know, I did hear of a pastor one time wanted to get people into his church. So he put an advertisement on the board. I'm not sure if this is an urban myth or not, but this is how I was told the story. And he said, come and find out. This is back a ways. Come and find out if Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist. Now, you know, there was a school of thought back a few decades ago that claimed Kissinger was one of the prime candidates for who is the Antichrist. And he put that on his bulletin board. And he got some people to show up. And he stood up before the congregation. He says, I promise to tell you tonight if Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist. I don't know. And he went on to preach a gospel message. Now, I don't know if that's false advertising, bait and switch, all that kind of stuff that car salesmen do. No offense if there are any car salesmen here. I worked as one for a couple months myself just for fun. So I wanted to drive a Porsche for at least a week or two as my demo. But anyway, just look at this. I'm going to go right down the line. I said I'm going to keep this brief. You don't have to understand everything in this book to get a blessing. The blessing is in reading it. Yes, there's a way to understand these things. But the blessing is reading. The blessing is hearing. The blessing is keeping, holding on to it. It says, for the time is near. The time is near. And you know what? I'm going to go so far as to say, I don't even think it depends upon your school of interpretation, how you interpret this book. I think there's a few that are better than others. But you know, as we've been going through this and studying it, we're looking at all the schools of interpretation. We're doing a very broad study. I'm not just like saying, here's the answer, here's how you do it. We're looking at them all. And you know, it's so often, you get a little snippet here, a little snippet there, and all of a sudden you're like, wow. And we walked out and we're blessed. And we're encouraged. Why? Because there's a promise to anyone who reads and hears this book. Now, it doesn't say it understands it. Now, I think you can get a little crazy on it, personally. But you know what? If we love it, and if we desire God, if we desire Jesus, this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I've heard so many people about, I had a good friend years ago. We were studying Revelation earlier, and this was actually 2 decades ago when I was coaching football, one of my coaching colleagues. And after practice, I was heading home. He says, what are you doing tonight? You having Bible study? I says, yeah. He goes, what are you teaching about? I says, oh, we're studying Revelation. He goes, oh, I know all about Revelation. Of course, you know, so I was like, oh, well, what do you know about Revelation? He goes, when you see the dragon, run. Okay, that's a pretty good, I guess that's a pretty good takeaway from the book of Revelation. When you see the dragon run. I said, I hope you'll figure out. And he did. He loves the Lord. He and his family. My son would know him if I mentioned his name. But, you know, people take all kind of things away from this book. What I want you to take away from this book, what God wants you to take away from this book, is what this book says. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Best way to read this book is to desire Jesus. Say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Let me see you. And you know, he is throughout this entire book. You can't miss him because he's here. But there are a couple of things I want to share with you that as you go on throughout life and you read this book, I trust you read the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God. You know, some Christians get favorite parts. I know. I have some favorite parts too. But don't neglect the whole counsel of God. It's one of the things about Revelation that I have found interesting over the years. You know, as you start to get a little bit older, you start to see some things. You start to see patterns emerge. And two great patterns that I see regarding the book of Revelation, I even see it in my own church, are Christians who make Revelation everything. The price of gas goes up. Is that in Revelation? I think that's in Revelation, right? Right? And then there's those, oh, don't talk to me about Revelation. I don't understand that. It's too scary. I don't get it. I don't mess with that book. You realize that's opposite ends of the spectrum, but both of them are in error. They're both in error. But God put it in the Bible. Why did he put it there for us? He put it there because he wants us to read it. And the more you at least get glimpses of what it's all about, the more, especially in these last months, I've come to realize that's why it's the last book of the Bible. And you want to know something? I firmly believe, and I'm going to share this with you throughout the week, that the reason this book is last has nothing to do with the second coming. Now, don't panic. I didn't say it doesn't talk about the second coming. I said that's not why God put it last. It could be. But I tell you what, there's so much more blessing. I know we're all waiting for his coming. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song. Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. How many of you know that song? Seeing how many old-timers we got. Yeah, the old-timers, we know it. Oh, I'm getting to be an old-timer. On the verge, not there yet. But you've been around for a while. We look forward to his return. It's how this book come ends. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But I got news for you. We still got some living to do before we see him. You know how I know that? Because I haven't seen him come down from the sky yet. The same Jesus who you've seen ascend into heaven shall in like manner return. He hasn't come yet. So there's something for us to do here. There's something going on. There's a reason why you're at Pilgrim Camp and those boys are coming up, or those young children, that was it, 6 boys and 4 girls. Are coming to Pilgrim Camp. There's a reason. There's something going on. And it's a warfare. It's a warfare that's raging in each one of those hearts, even as it rages in our own hearts at times. The enemy of our souls fights against us. But God gave this to John. Where do you hear the circumstances under which? I know you all know he got it on the island of Patmos. But what do you know about the island of Patmos? How many times have you read, oh, I, John, was on the island of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus? Do you really know what that was going on there? We're going to talk about that. You can Google it if you want, or you can do the lazy man's way and just wait till we get to it. And we're going to talk about it tomorrow morning, so you don't have to wait too long. I know one of the overarching theme of this camp season is the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow morning in our service together. Love to hear more testimonies. Love for us as we worship together on the Lord's Day. You know when the book of Revelation was given, don't you? Why, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's theological. Yes. It's historical. There's so many different angles to it. When we were looking and studying this in our class, some of our congregation just looked at him and went, "Wow, wow." Now, I hope I don't let you down. I hope I'm not building up such a big, but wait till you hear what the Holy Spirit, as it appears in this book and how relevant it is to our lives then, today, and throughout all of eternity. We're going to look at that together. But as we open ourselves up to the blessings of this book, here, follow with me. I'm going to do these quickly. By 9 o'clock, Brother Isaac's going to be standing up here. Revelation is the most biblical book in the Bible. I always love to look and see if I got any quizzical looks. Now, I know you're probably not giving me a quizzical look because I already gave you the paper and you can see what I'm talking about. You might say, of course it's biblical. It's in the Bible. How could it be more biblical than others? Did you know that no other book in the Bible quotes from as many other places in the Bible as does the book of Revelation? Hundreds of quotes and allusions, not illusions, allusions. You know, when you allude to something, something's being referenced. Over and over and over and over and over again. I got news for you when it comes to the book of Revelation. You're not going to come to understand it by reading the newspaper, which a lot of Christians do, and that's okay. That's fine. But you really want to understand the book of Revelation? You want to have some idea of what's going on? Read your Bible. Get to know your Bible inside and out. The more you know your Bible, the more you will see here in this book of Revelation. I got news for you, even that crazy book Leviticus. How many of you have ever been to that? You know, you're going to read your Bible through this year. You get to the end of Exodus, and all about those things that they put on the top. You know, depending on which version you read, you got all these clamps and clasps and things that are going on, and these buds that are on the, all right, you're going crazy. And all of a sudden, I finally got through that. And then, bam, Leviticus. We start killing lambs. You want to be a butcher? Read Leviticus. Teach you exactly what to do. Did you know the Levitical priesthood is littered throughout the book of Revelation? It's all in there. Why? Because what was going on wasn't just about killing lambs. It was a vision, something tangible of the greater reality. The greater reality that God had in mind. God's jolly wasn't in having animals killed. Oh, let's really get them. Let's kill an ox. Poor people. All right, we'll let you kill a pigeon. But I really like when they kill those oxen. No, that wasn't what it was about at all. It was a picture. It was a shadow. It was a type of something greater that God was doing, God was accomplishing, and God was going to accomplish. That's all throughout this book. It's all throughout this book. When we have Holy Communion with the counselors, with all those who are going to be serving, whether it's Sunday or Monday night, we're going to talk about the Lamb in the book of Revelation. What a spectacular vision to see that Lamb. You know, that Lamb was bloody. When John saw the Lamb in Revelation, do you know it was bloody? Do you know it was dripping with blood? Do you know that Lamb had had its throat cut? You don't believe me? Go read Revelation. Go read it. Or wait. We're going to look at that all together, and it's going to encourage us. There's also a system to the symbolism. You realize Revelation is full of symbols, full of these fantastic images. What in the world does that mean? There's a system to it. You find those, and you got to go back to number one. It all works off of that. Where else are they in the Bible? Where do I see this? Where do I see that? Where did this idea come from? These actions, did they happen somewhere else in the Bible? Can I compare this to another place? And all of a sudden, it begins to emerge. It begins to start to make sense. And like Brother Gordon used to say, can you believe how many years? I can't. I say that sometimes. I talk about Brother Gordon. I have people in my church looking at me like, it's like I say, oh, Brother Gordon. I hear crickets. Well, they don't know who he was. But what did he used to say?
It all hangs together.
How did he used to say it? We need Brother Keith for that. It all hangs together. It is a story. 40 authors. 1,000 years plus, it all hangs together. And the story continues because it is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Another interesting thing about Revelation is the idea of the sense of imminency. You know what that means? We saw here what it says, what? Twice even in these first three verses we read, things which must shortly take place. The time is near. God wanted, Jesus wanted those who were going to read this book for them to say, no, I'm going to apply this to me. Because this isn't just something I'm going to wait thousands of years for. This is something for now. Well, guess what? There are some people who say that Revelation is completely done. There are some people who claim that Revelation hasn't even begun yet. And then there are those who fall somewhere in between. But if what this word says to us, this is relevant for every Christian of every age. For each one of us, near, twice in the book of Revelation, soon, once, quickly, seven times, at hand, once. Other translations perhaps may, the numbers may be varied slightly, but it is here, it is now. It's not something that's just way up there. It's here. There are lessons for us. There are blessings for us to glean. We need to apply them to our own hearts. That's one thing I feel bad about some Christians when I hear them. And again, I'm not against what they're saying, but oh, someday, someday, someday. I say, okay, that's great. Someday, yeah. But what about today? What about today? Is there anything for us for today? I think there might be. I think there might be. Next, if you read this book carefully, what a great thing to read the entire book through in one sitting. I don't know if you've ever done that. It takes you a little while. But to read it through in one sitting, you know what happened? You know what you realize? One of the disservices that chapters and verses do for us is it tends to break things up. You realize the Bible wasn't written with chapters and verses, right? Didn't start that way, right? It was just one writing. It was just one writing, one scroll. Just kept reading all the way through it. And we get these ideas that there's breaks. There's these breaks. There are no breaks. It's then, and then, but, and then. It's a story that continues, and when you read it all in its entirety, all of a sudden you realize that all of these crazy things. And I'll be, you know, I can be pretty blunt. These things, some of them look pretty crazy. You realize, wait a minute. These aren't just events that are happening in isolation. There's a greater story to this whole thing. And what is the greater story of Revelation? You know what it is? What's the big story of Revelation? Worship. It's worship. You don't believe me? You know, I always say that kiddingly. Go read Revelation 4 and 5. John is caught up into heaven, and what's going on? There's the throne. There's the elders. The beasts. And what are they doing? They're worshiping. And as they worship, the Lamb is revealed, who tears open the seven sealed scroll. The trumpet blasts. The vials are poured out. Those angels are sent into the world. The beast arises. The great dragon arises. All in the context of worship. Worship. Why is that? It seems like these powers of evil are so strong, so potent. What in the world? People get scared out of their wits when they read some of this stuff. That brings us to the last one. When you see the dragon, run. It's one summary of Revelation. Others have used the same summary as a little chicken called, what was it, Henny Penny? Penny Henny, one of those. Yeah. You know who that is? You would know him. Henny Penny, we know better as Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The wrath is being poured out. Run. Here they come, the locusts, the blood, the frogs, it's all coming, run! Do you know what the real message of Revelation is? I don't care what your school of interpretation, doesn't matter. Here is the lesson of Revelation. For I give this to you counselors, I give it to the staff, I give it to all of us who love and serve God. You know what the message of Revelation is? Three words. Jesus is victor. That's the message of this book. It doesn't matter what the enemy does. It doesn't matter how powerful. It doesn't matter if a third of the heavenly stars are swept away and all. I don't care what your interpretation of that is. I have an interpretation. You probably have your own. It all comes down to this. Jesus is victor. This week, I don't care what happens. I don't care what it looks like. That's easy for me to say because I'll be safely tucked in down this end. Right, Brother George? Keep all your troubles on that. You don't let us pass that sign. You don't come this way. But I mean it. It doesn't matter how things look, how bad things seem. Jesus is victor. That is why this book was put last in the Bible, at least to my spirit. Because Jesus is victor. Christians were going to have to live through the ensuing centuries. They were going to give their lives. They were going to be persecuted. They were going to lose everything. Sometimes the enemy was going to go the opposite way and say, you know what I'm going to do? It doesn't seem like persecution affects these dudes. They just like are immune to it. They're impervious. I know what I'll do. I'll make them all rich. I'll give them all ease. I'll let them live in a place where, oh, sure, you can believe whatever you want as long as you keep it to yourself. I'll do that. Doesn't matter how bad things look. Jesus is victor. Claim that over every one of those boys, over everyone in this camp, over the people in your church, over your family. Jesus is victor. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the one who rides out conquering and to conquer. That means he won, he is winning, he will win. He is victor. He is in charge. There is nothing the enemy can do that can baffle him, that can knock him off his pins. You may feel like you're getting knocked off your pins, and when you feel that way, and I tell you, lately, I've had some things happen in my life. And I know you all have, so I don't take any, you know, I'm nothing special. You've all had them, and guess what? I got news for you. As long as we're here, they're going to continue to happen. Because we're in a battleground. We're in a battleground. I had someone come to me one time and say, you know, nothing bad ever happens to me. Well, I thought two things. I didn't quite say them like this, but I'm gonna just let you know what really went through my mind. You know, you gotta be a little politically correct sometimes, or at least a little nice, kind, full of grace. Two things came to me. Are your eyes open? Are you like awake? Are you aware? And then even worse, I thought, God forbid, is the devil that unconcerned with you? That he never comes after you? That he never attacks you? My Lord, he attacked Jesus. He unleashed every ounce of the force of hell against him because he knew the second he could make him fall, you and I could never be redeemed. We're going to face him. They're going to come. They come. Maybe we have people here who are in the middle of them. Please remember this. And I don't say this proudly because I struggle to. Jesus is victor. He is victor. He has won. He is winning right now. And in the end, when all the smoke settles and clears, you know who will be standing? Jesus. And here's the second teaching of Revelation. And all those who are his. His victory is my victory. His victory is your victory. And he gives us that victory. In 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. His victory
is my victory. And I end with these verses, two from Revelation. He has a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He also writes in Revelation 5, you have made them a kingdom of priests, and they shall reign on the earth. And finally, the Apostle Paul in that great epistle to the Romans, the most theologically complete, perhaps, statement in all of Scripture, how much more will they reign in life through the one man? And who is it? Who is our victory? Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let him be your victory. Let him win the victory through you, and he will do it. Let's just bow our heads in closing.
Thank you that you reign, Lord.
Yes.
The government is upon your shoulders. And we pray that at this time your eyes will be filled with the sight of yourself reigning. Oh God, you being on the throne, yes. You being in charge, you being the one who is riding forth, conquering and to conquer.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
In all our needs and situations, may we learn to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Praise the Lord. And as a way of benediction, thank you for that dear prayer, Brother Tom. I read to you one of the verses, the fifth verse of a song that is very special to us here at Pilgrim Camp. More stern will grow the conflict as nears our King's return, and they alone can face it who this great lesson learn. What is that lesson? That from them, God asks nothing but to unlatch the door, admitting him who through them, through us, through you, will conquer evermore. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, but to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. May this be all of our experience, and especially those who serve you here at Pilgrim Camp. We ask these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Staff, stay. God bless you, staff.